Greet each one in Jesus' name again this morning. I've been challenged, blessed by the message this morning, by the service this morning thus far. I want to kind of continue on in the same vein. There might even be some overlap from what we've heard in the Sunday school lesson and the devotions. I just have a very simple statement here to begin with, a quote. It says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I know none of you here are going to argue with that statement. And I just felt led this morning to share, it's in some ways the message is so simple, I hope you get something out of it. But I just felt like maybe it's good for us sometimes to go back and just take a look at the foundations. And I believe we all know this as a fact. We all would accept this fact that Jesus is the Son of God. But how often has it been? How often do you think about the implications of what that means in your life? Is it important that you believe, actually, that Jesus is the Son of God as he came and fulfilled his work here on earth, that he was the Son of God? Is it important that our beliefs are accurate? Is it important that we understand who Jesus is? I'd like to begin reading in Matthew chapter 16. We had Luke's version of this read this morning already, but I think we'll read this here, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we know as we've read the Gospels how there was a lot of differing opinions of who Jesus was. Like they mentioned here, they thought the prophets had come. Herod even thought that John the Baptist had risen back from the dead. But Jesus makes it personal. Who do you personally think that I am? And Peter had the correct answer. Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he recognized who Jesus was, even though I don't believe Peter understood totally at this time Jesus' mission on earth. He understood who Jesus actually was. And was Peter's answer important? I believe it was. Jesus said, Upon this rock I will build my church. And I don't believe that this is meaning the church is going to be built on Peter, like some believe. But I believe it means this rock, this belief, this true belief is the foundation of our beliefs. Ephesians 2 verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation of our beliefs. And for our beliefs to be accurate, we have to have our beliefs grounded on that cornerstone. I would like to read a couple of articles here from our Confession of Faith, just to what we say we believe who Jesus is. I'd like to read first the Apostles' Creed. And I'll just read the whole thing. It talks about more than the Son, but I'll read. It's fairly brief. It says, I believe in one God, the Father, The Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, rose from the dead on the third day, ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Almighty Father, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Maybe I'll stop there. I'd also like to read from the Article 3, the Christian Fundamentals, or Statement of Faith from 1964. It says, "We believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, that he was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin, the perfect God-man, that he was without sin, the divinely appointed sacrifice, who, by his death on the cross, made the only atonement for sin by the shedding of his blood, thus reconciling man to God, that he was resurrected bodily from the dead, ascended to glory, and ever liveth to make intercession for us, and he is the only head of the church." And so this is what we, especially the last article, this is what we say is our official belief. And does it matter what we believe about Jesus? And I've just read a book recently about a man that over the course of several years converted from Muslim to a Christian, and his concept of Jesus as a Muslim was way off. And the Muslims believe that Jesus was a great prophet, that he was a good man, that he did a lot of good things. But they believe that one of their big wrongs is they don't believe that he actually died on the cross. They believe that someone else substituted in his place, and that even they don't agree on that even. Some of them believe it was Judas, some believe Simon of Cyrene, and and then none of them would believe that Jesus ascended back into heaven. They believe it was Muhammad that ascended into heaven. Another belief that we hear, and this was mentioned in the men's Sunday school class, is that we believe that Jesus was a good man. And if you do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, can you say that Jesus was a good man? If you think about Jesus and what he said, what he taught, he repeatedly said that he was the Son of God, that he and the Father are one. And so if Jesus was not the Son of God, just a good man, he's not even a good man, he's a liar. And so, moving on from this, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What effect does this have on our life? Should this have an effect on my life and on the way that I live my life? And I would like to look a little bit more at this. What does believing in Jesus actually mean? And is the belief in your life what is called a historical Jesus? Or is he a Jesus that is alive in your heart today? And it is possible to have a head knowledge of Jesus. Most of us have been to church went to church Sunday after Sunday for most of our lives, and we can have this head knowledge of Jesus. We know who he is, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived on the earth, that he died on the cross and rose again. We can know that all in our heads, just a knowledge, kind of like we know that Donald Trump was inaugurated the other day. But if you met him on the street, he wouldn't know who you were. And there's a lot of people that have this kind of relationship with Jesus, and I believe don't even realize it. If you go back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And so here we have, on the day of judgment, people that thought they were doing a lot of things right. They had the head knowledge of God, and they knew what to say when and what to do when. But he says, "I never knew you." They were lacking in one thing, and that was that close personal relationship with him. And on the other hand, we can have an alive relationship with Jesus. We can a relationship as a close friend, and even closer than a friend, because or family, because he totally understands our needs and desires, and there can be in our earthly friends and family miscommunication, hurts, but Christ understands all about us. And how can we get to this point where we know who Jesus really is? How can we have this close relationship with him? And I thought of that great invitation that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And Christ is inviting us to come and to have this relationship with him, to lay our burdens on him, and he will take us through them. I'd like to go to John chapter 1. I was going to begin reading at verse 9. Feels like it's kind of breaking in, but maybe that's where I'll begin. "That was the true light," speaking of Jesus, "which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Here we have, it says, those that received him. Not just a head knowledge of him, but those that received him into their heart and became, as it were, the sons of God. It says, not born of flesh, but born by the Spirit of God. Those that had received the new birth and those that had received a heart, a new heart. And so, if you have received that new heart this morning, what effect does that have on your life? Does your life just go on in the same manner? And we have talked about Jesus as our friend a little bit, and there's that aspect, but there's also the aspect of when we recognize that that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, it has to go beyond that. And there's a lot of people in this world today that would like to, Jesus is their friend, and they it feels good to be friendly with somebody. We enjoy our friends. But believing in Jesus as the Son of God does not stop there. Believing in that Jesus is the Son of the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, we have to recognize our place before him, that we are servants of the Almighty God and servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I was impressed in the verses and the devotions. I don't know if you noticed, there's a lot of them had the phrase of with your whole heart or your whole being, something to that effect. And it takes a surrender of our whole being. We can't just leave part of it behind. And we recognize what Christ has done for us on Calvary, on the cross, and has redeemed us from sin and redeemed us from a life of misery and from judgment and eternal death after this life. And we recognize that because of what he has done for us, that we owe him our all. And as it says in the Gospels, I don't have the reference, but it says, even when we have done all that we can do, we are still unprofitable servants. And I'd like to look at some references, continue on, of what, if we believe in Jesus, what effect that has on our lives. I'd like to turn to John chapter 14. spend quite a bit of time in John. Here, I'd like to, at this right now, read from John chapter 14, begin at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and the Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. We notice in these verses, as we have understood ourselves before God, what he has done, what Jesus has done for us, the love that we will have for him, and following right in the steps of that love we will have for him is our desire to walk in obedience to his steps. We will obey his commandments, his sayings. In verse 23, the question, what are his commandments? It was keep my words. Keep the words that Jesus, obey the words that Jesus has spoken unto us. The only way to keep our relationship with Christ current is as we obey him and show by our lives that we have given all over to him. I'd like to read some in chapter 15. Now, looking at one of the commandments of Jesus. Let's begin reading in verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for I have for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You know, I think it's interesting, the first commandment that we heard in the devotional is to love God, and the second one is to love our neighbor, to love our brother. And in chapter 13 it says that this is the mark by which the world around us will know that we are the sons of God, is by our love for each other. And yet it seems like that's the very first thing that breaks down among God's people. Been broken many times by those that claim to be his children. Also, I notice in verse 16 that we are to bring forth fruit. In our lives, as we love God, as we love each other, our lives will show by the way we live the characteristics of God. We will show that we are loving God. And we've been hearing sermons. Brother Tim's been sharing on the fruits of the Spirit. I believe also, as we believe in Jesus, that we will be a part of his church. And I believe the verses that I read in the beginning from Matthew 16, where Peter made that confession, and then Jesus talked about the rock being the cornerstone of the church. And I believe that what is implied here is as we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives, and that we will accept and at some point accept and become a part of his church. And you think in the book of Acts in the first chapters of how all the ones that believed and were saved, they were baptized, became a part of the church. Now, I believe this means become a visible, part of a visible body of believers as we work together and become a part of the bride of Christ. I thought of, along with that, of Mark 8, chapter 38. I thought I could about quote that, but I can't. And whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And could it be that not being willing to identify with a group of believers is being ashamed of Jesus? And I realize there's a lot more in this verse, and as we live our lives, there's a lot of ways that we can be ashamed of Jesus in other areas as well. In Romans 1 verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Turn to Acts 1 verse 8. Verse 7, I'll begin. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And here we have another command of Jesus to fulfill in our lives. And that is the command to spread the gospel throughout the world. And in a sense, being here in Chihuahua, Washington is a part of that. As we are a long way from the Middle East, but we're not done yet. As time continues, we need to continue on spreading the word to areas that have never heard the gospel. And it's an area that I, many times myself, can fall short in. And we have opportunities right here in our doorstep to help others and to show God's love in the community around us. And we also need to be mindful of the opportunities to go where the word of God has not been shared yet and show God's love, his word, there as well. And I would like to look for the rest of the time at some of the promises that Jesus left us in his word. Go back to John chapter 14. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Also along with that, I'd like to look at Mark, keep your finger in John 14, but I'd like to look at Mark chapter 13, verses 9 to 11. Take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So here we have the promise of the Comforter coming, the Holy Spirit who will guide us in John chapter 14. He will teach us, he will show us and also help us in times of trial. It mentions in Mark about being brought in trial before men and the Spirit helping us give answers. And I don't believe this gives us an excuse to be lax in our Bible study. But as we study the scripture, even though if we can't remember it, and I'm sure many of us, as we've been talking to people, have had the scripture right on the tip of our tongue when it was needed, and I believe that's the Holy Spirit directing us. It's not something that we can do of ourselves. And also in the next verse in John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so here we have a gift of peace. Peace, even when the world around us seems to be falling apart, when we are facing trials along our way and financial reverses and discouragements. And along with knowing that we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts to help us when it is needed, we can have a peace that, like it says somewhere, a peace that passes all understanding, even when it feels like things around us are all coming apart. And then we have the promise of Christ coming again, and this is a promise that either brings us peace or fills us with dread, depending on what we have done with Christ in our lives. And I'd like to read the first part of John chapter 14. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Very familiar verses to all of us, but a promise again that he has gone to prepare a place for us, and that also he is going to come again and take us to himself. I'd like to look in chapter 16, verse 19. "Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of what I said a little while? And ye shall not see me in a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And now, therefore, have ye sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you." Somehow these verses stood out to me in a new way as I thought about this, about Christ coming back for his church. And as we are here waiting for Christ, we have our trials, our things that we face that are hard. And this is only while we are separated bodily from Christ. But there's coming a great day, as we heard that he is coming back to take us to the place that he has prepared for us. And he comes back for his bride, the church. And if we are a part of his bride, all the sorrows that we see here in life, all the sorrows that we face, they're going to become a fading memory. Just and as we think of being in the presence of Jesus, I thought of the verse of the old song that says, "The toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way." And as we are in the presence of his glory forever, I believe that it will seem worth it, that the the trials that we have gone through here will seem as nothing, as it says. And may we continue to see Jesus as the Son of God, as Lord of our lives, and look forward to that day when we can be forever in his presence. Let's kneel for prayer.